Our New Testament text for this morning, which is also the text for the sermon, is Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. And that's on page 952 in your Bibles. That's Luke 15, 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Pharisees are offended. They listen to Jesus and grumble, muttering to each other, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." If we're familiar with the other stories of Jesus' ministry, we might think this is just the way Pharisees are. They're generally offended about something. Yet, they do have a good reason to be bothered by this. Culturally, eating a meal together was extremely significant. A host honored someone by inviting them to a meal. This was an offer of peace and trust and brotherhood and forgiveness. Basically, sharing a table meant sharing life. Also, in verse 2, the word that's translated welcome does often imply hospitality. So Jesus was hosting sinners. And for Jesus to host them would have been a much more serious offense to the Pharisees. Yet Jesus accepts sinners completely and demonstrates this to everyone by hosting them. And notice that Jesus isn't only telling this parable to the Pharisees. We read that tax collectors and sinners are also there. They've gathered around to hear what Jesus has to say. For them, this parable explains the wonderful grace of Jesus' ministry. Jesus tells this parable both as an explanation and also almost as a defense of his ministry, showing what God has sent him to do. As our parable begins, a sheep is lost and cannot find its way back on its own. Losing one sheep out of 100 might not seem like a big deal, but it's an important loss to the shepherd. This shepherd probably is taking care of sheep for his whole life, not just his whole family is relying on him to take care of them. And apparently, when a sheep gets lost, it lies down and refuses to move. It gives up. That sheep is helpless. And that's probably the best case scenario. The sheep could have been killed by a wild beast, an easy place for the sheep to fall and get hurt. This sheep is in a mess. It's vulnerable to dehydration, to attacks from wild animals, and to the difficult landscape. In any case, the shepherd knows the sheep is not coming back. I think sometimes we can identify with this sheep, feeling lost and feeling like we can't find our way back on our own. It makes me think of this teenage girl. We'll call her Caitlin. She was 14 and finishing up 8th grade. And she was convinced that she was a horrible disaster. Now, this might sound like the exaggeration of a dramatic 14-year-old girl, but Caitlin had quite a bit more evidence on her side than most. She had hallucinations that were so terrifying she would start screaming like she was being attacked. She heard voices threatening to hurt her and telling her how worthless she was. She had awful nightmares. And the doctors thought this was caused by trauma. So she was in counseling and she was taking medications. But her symptoms got worse. And she felt rejected, which made sense. She was convinced that it wasn't possible for anyone to like her. And these feelings extended to God. She was convinced that God couldn't like her if she was this much of a mess. And she was torn up inside, thinking that God couldn't love her. She started cutting herself to deal with the pain. And soon she was convinced that God would hate her for this. It was too bad of a thing. She thought her, and that terrified her. None of this mess was Caitlin's fault. But like the lost sheep, Caitlin was stuck in a mess, and she couldn't find her way back on her own. I would guess that many of us, perhaps most of us, have felt lost in our mess at some point. Many of us are surrounded by mess that's not as obvious as Caitlin's. But we can still be lost in it and feel distant from God or separated from Him. Perhaps we're workaholics, always fighting to achieve, trying to prove ourselves. Or maybe by staying at work so late, we're avoiding the messes that are at home. Maybe our mess is an addiction to pornography that pops up on the computer so easily. Or maybe our mess is alcoholism. We start drinking to relax and eventually realize that we're drinking more and more. We're eating for comfort or under-eating for control. Maybe our mess is cheating on our math tests or plagiarizing a paper. Maybe we justify it by thinking the class is just too hard and we have to do this to pass, dealing with an entirely different type of mess. Like Caitlin, which have taught us that we're worthless or that no one can be trusted. Maybe our mess is abuse. It's likely that some of us have been abused at some point or are being abused now. Or maybe our mess is mental illness. Some of us have experienced such depth of brokenness and pain through no fault of our own that we might question if there is a God who loves us. We certainly don't think of God as someone who's looking for us. On the other hand, perhaps some of us can't think of one big issue in our lives, but we know that there are little broken things. Maybe it seems like there's always someone in the family who's sick. Or maybe our marriages are basically okay, but they felt like a lot of work lately. Or maybe our child is learning more slowly than we would expect. We all experience the same, which can leave us hurting and frustrated and maybe feeling lost and helpless, we can't figure out how to find our way back to God. Yet in our parable, the shepherd searches until he finds the lost sheep, and he rejoices over it. It might seem odd to us for the shepherd to leave the 99 and go find the one, but the shepherd values every sheep enough to go look for it. So he leaves the 99 and gives himself to looking for the one lost sheep. Although it might seem insignificant, only 1 in 100, that lost sheep is his priority. We don't read that there's anything special about this sheep. It's not the most attractive or the most valuable lostness of the sheep that gets the shepherd's attention. And that's all that matters. The shepherd walks all over the wilderness looking for this one sheep. He might have gotten tired, but he doesn't give up. He doesn't decide to cut his losses. The shepherd searches until he finds it. Now, imagine hiking all over the wilderness looking for this one sheep. Remember, it's valuable to your family, and you will be held responsible for losing it. This is a stressful situation. So when you found it, wouldn't you be mainly relieved? The crisis is over. You're not in trouble anymore. Reading this parable, when the shepherd finally discovers the sheep lying down on the ground, not even trying to find something like this. All right, it's going to be okay. I just have to get this sheep back home and it'll all be all right. I wish it wasn't this heavy. But this is not what we sheep. Lying down, refusing to move, needing to be carried, the shepherd rejoices. The striking thing here is that the shepherd rejoices while still facing the work of carrying the sheep back. The sheep probably was terrified and dirty too. Yet the shepherd values this one ordinary sheep so much that he rejoices at finding it. He rejoices while facing the work of saving the sheep from the wilderness. He carries his sheep home on his shoulders. This shows the compassion and tender care that the shepherd has for this sheep. Annoyed with the sheep, he's not frustrated or angry that it was lost. He is exceptionally joyful at finding it. And when he gets home, the shepherd is still rejoicing. He calls the whole community to rejoice with him. And like the shepherd, God searches until he finds us and rejoices over us. God doesn't expect us to find our way back on our own. God found Caitlin in an obvious way when she went back to the hospital. God used a chaplain who visited her. For some reason, Caitlin trusted this chaplain, and she told her all about the mess in her life and the trauma. God showed Caitlin that he was listening through the chaplain, a glimpse of how much he cared through this chaplain who sat and was with her and cared about her. And before she left, the chaplain asked Caitlin if it would be all right to pray with her. And Caitlin thought this would be okay. As the chaplain prayed, the Holy Spirit moved in Caitlin, and she started to cry. She sobbed, and she was shaking through the whole rest of the prayer. Afterwards, she seemed stunned, and she thanked the chaplain over and over. Finally, she said, "You know, I haven't prayed in a long time. I didn't care. But I think I can pray now." She was amazed that God wanted anything to do with her. She couldn't have gotten to him on her own, but the Holy Spirit was at work. Caitlin sobbed as she received God's grace. Believe me, leaving that room, the chaplain was filled with joy at what God had done in Caitlin's life. And if that chaplain can be so passionate about that, just imagine how much joy God felt rejoicing over Caitlin. We see in Caitlin's life and in this parable that the ways of God are like those of a shepherd who goes out to seek earnestly the one who is lost. God counts by ones. God finds each one of us. We do not save ourselves by finding God. God finds us when we are lost. He finds us in our addiction, in our illness, in our anger and pain, and he rejoices over us. God doesn't require us to change before he pays attention to us. We don't have to fix our mess. We do respond to God's grace with repentance, but we will be changed because of our relationship with God. Repentance is our natural response to God's grace, whether the mess was because of our sin or not. We're all sinners, and we all need to repent. But before we do anything, God finds us with his grace. This doesn't mean that we should just ignore God and do whatever we want and figure, well, God will find us anyway, I'll just leave it to him. But it does mean that when we are hurting and lost and feeling separated from God, God searches for us. And when God finds us, he rejoices. Verse 7 reads, Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, that's a somewhat odd statement. But really, it's unclear that there are any righteous persons. If we look at the overarching narrative of Scripture, it seems clear that everyone needs to repent. So Jesus might mean this in an ironic way towards the Pharisees. Perhaps when Jesus said this to the Pharisees, the message was, there will be more joy in heaven over one person who repents than over 99 of you Pharisees who think you are righteous and that you need no repentance. This would tell the Pharisees that they were not valued more than one lost person who repented. In any case, whatever Jesus meant by the 99 righteous persons, the force of this statement is the extreme joy in heaven over one person who is found. Also, Luke assumes that being found includes accepting God's grace and then repenting. For Luke, this repentance is not a moral cleansing of one's life. It's a turning around, a change of attitude or of mind. This change is also a gift from God. Repentance is part of being found. It is our response to God's grace. All of heaven rejoices over each individual repentant sinner. God delights in the recovery of the lost. This chapter, Luke 15, is one of the most forceful descriptions that exists of God seeking sinners and reveling in their return. God is not passive, waiting for people to approach him after they get their lives in order. He is the seeking God who takes initiative to bring people back, regardless of how lost they are. Some of you feel like lost sheep. Maybe you've wandered away from God in sin and now you can't find your way back. Or maybe you're lost because you're separated from God by your pain and you can't figure out how to get back to him. But God always wants you back. This hope is here for you today. God is seeking you. Maybe God is reaching you with his grace and his unconditional love right now. Maybe God is calling you to respond with repentance and joy to your life with him. If this is the case for you, I would love to talk and pray with you after the service, or find another Christian who you trust and talk and pray with that person. Others of you have been found and picked up by God, and there's a celebration in heaven over each one of you. This week, let's give thanks to God for finding us and not giving up. We should also remember that in his search for the lost, God loves to work through his people. The challenge for all of us today is to make ourselves available. God doesn't only work through chaplains and pastors and Bible study leaders. God uses casual conversations to reach people. God works through our friendships. God works through us while we're on the playground with our friends. God uses us as channels of his persistent love as we interact with our coworkers. God is at work through us while we hang out with our friends at lunch break. Jesus came to seek the lost. God continues to seek the lost. And in God's plan, we are not only those who are found, we are those God works through to find others. Amen.